You having fun? Just staring from across the room. You've got to strut your stuff, and I'll show you just what to do now. You gotta dance, gotta make your advance, you gotta show you've got guts. I got a move that'll make them swoon, and it's called the two-step strut. Now dance with me.
Rather, coming soon to a theater near you, I believe it's The Equalizers, rather a weekly podcast where I say two idiots that drop their cinema sibling in the lap of a perfectly consent solo film, as you would. My name is Mike Nolan, and I'm rather joined by Madison Jones. Madison Jones, are you, how should I say, in good form?
I'm just a writer sitting in front of a microphone asking their co-host to make a sequel with me.
God, I thought about that one as well for the opening.
I'm sorry, do you not like that? How about, yeah, why not? All that awaits me at home is masturbating Welshman.
That's better.
You say it best when you say nothing at all. That was the tune to that of that song. Also, I just got one more. Happiness isn't happiness without a violin playing goat. These are the hot takes, hot samplings I took from this movie. And overall, I like this movie. This is one of my more pleasing romantic comedies, in my opinion.
It was all right.
Just all right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Good.
There was a lot of things that I liked in it that were like, oh, that's kind of charming. But for me, I just couldn't get over the fact that they didn't have any chemistry. He was just vaguely charming and she was charmed by him. And that was kind of their chemistry.
Interesting.
I didn't care for that. Like, it was okay, but I'm not mad I watched it. I probably wouldn't sit down and go, I'm going to watch Notting Hill today or something like that. But
I will say, I think she seems more into him than he is into her. I think that's how I read it in this movie, because he seems to be just amazed that this is happening to him, right? Like I there's nothing about her that actually I think that he at least expresses that I enjoy this about you. And with her, I think she's actually charmed by him in that he is like a nice man. Right.
Yeah, that seems to be the extent of what she sees in him, is just that he's like a nice man, because they meet in the bookstore where a man is trying to steal a book from him by putting it down his pants. He then covers her in orange juice and like, you can use my house rather to change your shirt and go about your day. And then she kisses him in his home and leaves. And then they're like, hey, we should like do dates now. It's just, I don't know. It's weird that she's like sold hook, line, and sinker into this man who runs a travel bookstore.
Yeah. It's really like the story told from his perspective, right? And rather than hers, like, and of course he's going to seem like the bland, like, oh yeah, this is just me, you know, kind of guy. Like, I think his character could use more work, because I think like what they were going for with his character is that he never knows what he wants. And he can never decide, like, because those are the big character beats, even in the end, of just like when his friends are sitting around and just like, oh, yeah, it's totally like the right decision to like let her go. You know? Yeah, sure. Whatever, man. That's your life. And then like Risa Fahn's character comes in. And he's like, you fucking idiot. you know, just like, what are you talking about? You've been sad for months about her breaking up with you, or you all like having a split. And what are you talking about? Like, go do what you need to do, or go do what you want to do. Right.
He was my favorite character.
Risa Fahn's.
Yeah.
Spike.
Just this yogurt's gone off. Well, that's mayonnaise. Oh yes, of course. Or whatever. Like
it's so good. He's pretty crass, like in general, which is the whole thing about him, is like, and I also like that he's not really part of the friend group that they have either. He's no. Like, he's just a guy who lives with him and that Hugh Grant's character, William, puts up with for some reason.
What did she say?
Well, it was genuinely bizarre. She said, "Hi, it's Anna." Then she said, "Call me at the Ritz." And then gave herself a completely different name.
Which was?
Absolutely no idea. Remembering one name's hard enough.
How did I look? Not bad. Not at all bad. Well-chosen briefs, I'd say. Chicks love grey. Nice, firm buttocks. I was called and I came, was I?
William's just turned down Anna's coat.
You daft prick.
Well, I liked at the end where they're having whatever, like another dinner. And maybe it's the point where they're like, what are you fucking doing? It's been a little bit since I watched this movie, to be fair. But the, like, his sister or whatever is just like, I've decided to become engaged. And then looks right at Reese Ifans and is like, it's you, by the way. Like, she's just announced, I'm going to get engaged to you.
Yes.
If that's cool. And he's into it. But it was just kind of funny. He's like, I've decided to become engaged to an artist. And she looks at him, it's you.
Yeah.
It was fine. Like I said, I didn't like have a bad time watching it. I was more just kind of baffled at the chemistry. And ultimately, it was just, it's fine.
I will say, I'm not a huge, and not that I think she's a bad actress at all. Like, I just like Julia Roberts' roles have never really like charmed me that much. Or like, there hasn't been a lot of movies that I've been, I'm like, oh yeah, like, she really wowed me in this. Well, in this movie, I think, like, I actually enjoyed her. I enjoyed her performance. But
I would say, if it's a blanket statement, I have some bad news about an upcoming project. Do you have anything else you want to talk about the movie in, let's say, approximately the next 5 minutes? Or do we want to move on to bits?
I don't know. Like, to me, this is like... I was talking to some friends about this movie and I'm like, oh, this to me is like, the romantic comedies like existed before this, but to me, this is like the proto modern, like, yeah. Like to me, like, this is like kind of the vibe that I think a lot of like romantic comedies try to capture and maybe like fail at. Like, my friend said like Annie Hall is more of that without to give Woody Allen too much credit. But like,
yeah.
I think that's also like it. But to me, this is like the modern one to me.
Yeah, I can see the DNA where Woody Hall is the one that goes from, or Annie Hall, whatever.
Woody Hall.
Yeah, where it goes from the old style romantic comedy where it's just like two people who don't really have romantic scenes together, but go on these adventures. And then at the end, you're like, oh, yes, we're also in love, to the more like, oh, there's more, like, that's the one that kind of pivoted from, or it was more that, but getting away from it. And this was the first one where they were like, no, there's like actual romantic connection throughout the whole movie. It's not just like,
yeah,
we have a wacky happenstance adventure and then at the end we kiss.
Yeah. You could say that about like When Harry Met Sally as well. Also, more recent, but not even that recent. It's over 10 years old at this point, but a lot like Love with Ashton Kutcher and Amanda Peet. Yes, like that was the last thing I had to say about it. Like, this to me is like, in my mind, like the proto modern romantic comedy for me. That I think is the base that I kind of judge.
I don't know what my benchmark is. I guess I kind of say that thing you do because it's a romantic comedy that's mostly a comedy, but like there is like the kind of will they, won't they, even though. Like they, in the extended edition, the director's cut, they add in a lot more of scenes of them together. Yeah, I don't recommend the extended edition. They make Mr. White really silly. Like they reveal that he's gay essentially. And then all the scenes of him with his boyfriend played by ex-football star and NFL commentator Howie Long. Like he's like really silly whenever he's with Howie Long. And it's like, I just don't like that part. I don't care that they like he's like gay. It's like he just gets weirdly silly. It's like, no, I like Mr. White as this like extremely serious character. It's fine, but they add a lot more of like Guy and Faye, like longing look scenes or like lingering touches and things like that, which I think is smart they didn't include him. We're not talking about a totally different movie, but
I can't believe there's an extended edition of that thing you did. that's wild to me. Like
it's not that much longer. It's mostly just the stuff with Mr. White and then some more Guy and Faye stuff, but it's really not that there's not really much else in that movie to be added. All right. Well, if that's all we have to talk about with the movie, the other thing I have to talk about is From Tarzan to Tomorrowland. We've made a lot of stupid movies, but some of them are stupider than others. This is dumb, actually. Da-da-da-da.
It's Planko. Hello, Planko.
All right. Now, for those of you who are new listeners, Dumb Actually is a game that I did not steal from Mike Trapp, in which I read off a synopsis or a series of statements about movies that we have pitched here on our show. In each statement, two things are factually incorrect. Madison has to correct me by beginning with Dumb Actually and their correction.
This is legally distinct completely. Mm-hmm.
Space is nothing new to the Equalizers, but the third era has seen an uptick in spacery. With Another Christmas in Space, Riverworld, goddammit, Stargate, The Almighty Dollar, Shrek the Musical 2, I Want a Believer, Dune, Arrakis Cop, and Bubble Boy, The Space Odyssey, all appearing within the last 50 episodes. Of all of those, only Another Christmas, Stargate, and Bubble Boy have our characters going willingly.
Okay. Dumb, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wrote it, in Shrek the Musical 2, I Want a Believer, they don't actually go to space.
I believe he does actually go to space. The alien sends him to space, I thought. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, you are right. You're right, because they
do. The little green man.
Because he has to get back, because he's floating in space at one point. Mm-hmm. Dumb, actually.
Mm-hmm.
In Riverworld, goddammit, they don't go to space?
It's another planet.
God damn it.
I'll give you one more guess.
God damn it. Get it?
You can get only one. I almost put the N on there as that was the thing that was wrong. It is God damn with D-A-M. I almost put the N as the thing that was wrong, but.
In Bubble Boy, they don't go willingly. Dumb, actually.
I'll allow it. You almost forgot it. Uh-huh. But in Bubble Boy, he is abducted.
Yeah, I thought so, because they needed him, because they saw him as like, oh, he's the guy who solved all these problems on Earth.
I will also say the other, well, there before we get any letters from all of our millions of rabid Dumb Actually fans, Shrek never willingly goes to space. He agrees to go to trade lives with the little green man. Unbeknownst to him, that implies space. So I left him as agreeing because he agreed to go. He just didn't agree necessarily to go to space.
Okay.
The other thing wrong with this, Bubble Boy was not in the third era. Bubble Boy was in the second era.
It was?
I'm pretty sure. It was right after League of Extraordinary Gentle People.
Oh. Because they challenged us to do Bubble Boy.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't actually a third era film. But you get 1 point out of the Dumb Actually game here today.
Cool. Well, I got bad news, Mike. The carnival is not here today. And only for the reason that Gargamel and Gargalax are on their quest journey to defeat the Inverse Wizard. And not because I couldn't come up with a game.
Obviously, they come up. You don't even come up with the games. They come up with the games.
They come up with the games. Yeah, exactly. So, like, that's not the reason.
Yeah, why would you even bring up your name?
Like, yeah, exactly.
It doesn't make any sense.
Specifically, I couldn't come up with a game that was an inverse of one of the existing games. That's not the reason.
So nothing has changed.
So nothing has changed. But I did bring a game today myself, okay. Madison. Not this is a separate game from.
Gotcha.
The carnival. You understand, Mike?
Yeah, so essentially if I win this, I don't get any carnival points.
I will give you a carnival point that I have personally smuggled out of the carnival.
Okay. I have some questions about your carnival smuggling ring, but we can save those for another time.
I have deep pockets.
Ask and answer. What's the game that you've brought, Madison?
Faux or nouveau, which of these fake films is the real deal? We will find out today with this week's challenger, Michael Knoll.
Okay.
So Notting Hill has a few fake movies in it. I kind of like the topic of movies within movies within movies, you know?
Sure. I like this a lot.
Yeah. So I just have a few trivia questions about movies that have appeared in other movies and see if you can get them correctly. Okay.
Gotcha. So I'm answering trivia about movies that don't exist.
Exactly.
Just but to be
appeared.
To,
okay. Yeah.
I'm fine with this game. I just want to make sure I understand the rules.
Yeah.
Carry on.
In the last action hero, which one of the slants on a Shakespearean classic did Arnold Schwarzenegger's character Jack Slater star in? Have you seen Last Action Hero?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it has to be either Macbeth or Hamlet.
Okay.
Is it multiple choice?
Or? It is multiple choice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Macbeth.
Okay.
Henry the 205th.
That's very funny.
Or Hamlet. Hamlet.
Man, I'm thinking too long for a question I don't know the answer to, so I'll go with... Man, it's so good, though. I'll go with Henry the 205th.
Henry the 205th.
Yeah.
Your final answer?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it was Hamlet.
Yeah. Hamlet.
God. All right. Question number two. You have three chances, so...
Sure.
Meta gets meta'd in Wes Craven's Scream films with there being multiple sequels telling the tales of the Westboro murders. In each movie, the new movie featured within the movie is the events that took place within the preceding film. What was the name of the film franchise in the film? Was it the Slasher franchise? The Stabbed franchise or the Gutted franchise?
The Stabbed franchise, final answer.
It was the Stabbed franchise. Did you actually remember?
Absolutely. No, I've never seen a Scream film.
Okay.
But that just is, that sounded the most like, I think I've seen the first one maybe a long time ago. And that sounds like the level of wordplay comedy that they would have used.
In my opinion, the Scream films only get better with each one, including the newer ones. I never watched the show.
Carry on, then we'll see. But
yeah, just... I really love those films. All right, last question for the point. Chris Evans plays action hero Lucas Lee in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Okay,
what was the high action profession Lucas Lee had in the movie he was filming in the town? Okay. Was it action skater, action doctor, or action plumber?
It was action skater, because I remember he does skate stuff in the action in the movie.
Okay.
Scott Pilgrim vs. World. So action skater, final answer.
Action skater?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mike. It was action doctor.
Really?
It was action doctor, yeah.
Huh.
And
he does skate stuff though, right?
He does skate
super
stuff.
Sick grind.
Okay. He does do so skate stuff.
Me. You got me with the
yes.
Repairing. I'm more mad that I fell for that red herring. Like, I openly just fell for your bullshit.
The tagline for the action doctor movie is the good news is you're going to live. The bad news is he's going to kill you.
God.
It also says check your pulse May 19th. Pretty good.
Amazing. Well, I didn't get any points. So you got 1 point. I didn't get any, but again, probably good for the points market that we're not,
yeah, we're not inflating.
Still
it.
Racking them up. But, well, other things that are good for the points market would be Notting Hill 2.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas for this?
The highlights.
That told me everything I needed to know.
The highlights for me were like Spike. I also like the, if we want to do some like real bullshit, is we could do the trio of, the girlfriend's not girlfriend, basically, like, you know, the dates that he went on and like they get revenge, right, or something. If you wanted to create like a Ted Hamilton, You Must Die or whatever, or dating Ted Hamilton kind of thing. What was that movie? You know, it's like Scott something, You Must Die.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Where he's like a senior dating three different girls at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. Madison here from the future. The movie was John Tucker Must Die. John Tucker Must Die, starring Brittany Snow, Jesse Metcalf, Sophia Bush, Ariel Keppel, and Ashanti. John Tucker Must Die. All right. Sending you back to the past.
Woo!
That's, yeah, I, what else do you have? I'm not against that. I just, if that's the idea, then that's the idea.
That's all I had of an idea. Okay. Like, did you have any ideas?
Let me check. I had, mostly I just wrote down lines and then like a thing that could like spin off of them. One of them was, they keep saying the chance of love is minuscule. They said that a few times. Mm-hmm. I wrote gambling and equals casino. So like some kind of like love casino. Mm-hmm. That would be if we go supernatural. Also, if we want to go supernatural, Jackson at one point made a joke about how he was going to sell somebody a travel book to hell. There's something there. If we want to keep it more steady, I don't have like an idea. I have a vibe or a theme idea is that it's like a more modern day setting. Like, because he says at one point, I shall find myself in 30 years still sitting on this couch. And the idea of we just have him 30 years later sitting on that couch would be a fun little nod. But that's not a plot. That's just like a beat.
Yeah. We could do like, oh, it is 30 years later. Maybe Julia Roberts' character has passed away or something like that. And he's trying to find love again as like an older man. Right. You know, like that might be a heartfelt comedy. We could call it Nodding Over the Hill.
That's very funny. God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be fun because now he's trying to do like our time, like online dating or whatever. And he's bad at it, I guess. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
His affable quirks don't work over there. I could be like, typing like through Twitter, like, well, I rather think that we should, how do I say, go on a date rather or whatever. Like the Hugh Grant charm that everybody loves does not transfer over text.
No. I think that's good. I think this should be what we do is like he tried.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah. So he is he's a widower, right? Mm-hmm. And trying to get out there again. Like his friends are still around and like are there for him. I think like he got left everything, so maybe they live in LA for a bit or something, or like they lived around because of her acting career. And like, let's face it. He wasn't going to stay in Notting Hill for the travel bookshop, right? The worst idea for a bookshop ever. Like I get the premise. It's just not
a
good idea.
For the people who love the movie, let's rather say that, I didn't mean for that to even be that. Let's say that like, when travel books just became a thing that wasn't any commercially viable, they weren't in the beginning, but we pretended for the movie.
Sure.
It's like, oh yes, rather I had to close the bookshop and whatever. We moved to Los Angeles or something like that, like, or whatever. But like, just for the pure fans, we don't have to be like, fuck you, that was stupid. We'll just be like, yes, the bookshop failed because of how travel plans changed.
I'm just saying, like, I understand. It just wasn't
Looking out for the diehards.
You're looking out for the travel book fans. Like, I'm not saying travel books are bad. I'm saying a travel bookshop is a bad idea.
Yeah, I'm looking out for the people who love Notting Hill and would be like bummed that we just like, oh yeah, fuck you, that was a stupid idea.
Okay.
Whatever. No, you know what? You're right. We have a 30-minute monologue. Hugh Grant, like, what was I thinking? Travel books, Jesus.
It's one of those.
If you're mad about that, tweet at Madison Jones on Twitter.
You know, in 40-Year-Old Virgin, a movie that everybody's seen, where that lady has the eBay shop where she just sells people shit on eBay, but she has a brick and mortar store for some reason. It's kind of like that idea.
Okay. I've seen it one time a long time ago.
Okay. I'm just going to start my own podcast called Bad Shop Ideas That Appear in Movies That I Have Gripes About.
Great. I'll guest on it as often as you want. For this movie, one way or another, he no longer owns or runs that bookstore.
Yeah.
What is the bookstore now? Because like, if we have a scene where he comes back to Notting Hill to find love again, like the idea of like that bookstore is now something entirely different. Like, I mean, the standard option is a Starbucks, but like
Spike has started a screen printing business where he screen prints his bad art onto like shirts that nobody wears.
Okay. Got it. So it's a, It's a Spencer's Gifts. Gotcha.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, it's just like, I think he sells extreme t-shirts. He sells extreme graphic tees of his original artwork.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess that I sort of threw this out there as if it was decided. Do we want him to come back to Notting Hill?
Yeah.
Like 30 years later, he's like returning to Notting Hill. He's like, I'm going to find love again.
Yeah. And I think maybe he sees the place has changed, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's not like it what it used to be. It's kind of like become a little like sort of more modernized, or maybe like just sort of like what happens when like a place gets popular, it gets gentrified and like mm-hmm. sort of like and sort of like gets a little too uppity maybe. And so like maybe he's pining, maybe like the whole movie he's pining about Notting Hill and like how it's changed, but like also it's like, oh, he's really pining for his lost love, right? You know, mm-hmm. Because as much as like they were trying to make Notting Hill a character in this movie, it really wasn't. Yeah. Not enough for it to be named the whole movie after, right?
No, it's just kind of, I wonder if there were deleted like scenes of like more like neighborhood characters that they cut for time or something, because sure. like there really weren't any. There was the guy who tried to steal a book by putting it down his pants, and that was pretty much the only character outside of the friend group that I could even remember.
Yeah.
I like the idea that he returns home and is like, oh, the neighborhood, it's so different. But the idea is, no, he just wants it to be the way it was when he and Anna, I think it's Anna Scott, right? I read some Anna reviews Scott. For Letterboxd to see if there were any good ones, and I did see her name there. But it's like he just wants it to be the way it was when he and Anna met and fell in love and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And how do we tie that idea into then the like romance angle?
I like the idea that maybe she started like a foundation or something, like, and they sort of ran it together. We can come up with what the foundation was for. Like, it provided money to something, right? Like some sort of preservation, horse preservation,
travel book shop present.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be like a travel like thing, or like maybe they sponsor some people to travel around the world. I don't know. Sure. But maybe they ran it together, and, now that she's gone, like he sees it as like he still needs to run it, but he's doing it all remote because he's returning to Notting Hill. And like maybe like his whole thing is like, oh, you need to pass this on to like someone else can run this. You don't have to do this. You need to mourn, basically, and move on or whatever. And he is having a hard time doing that. And maybe the romance part is like him finding someone within Notting Hill that is like trying to change it.
What if, because we're using Notting Hill having changed as like the metaphor of him not being over his wife or like still into that, it's the person who comes in to help him run it from like America.
Oh yeah.
Who's not from Notting Hill. The idea is he has to sort of let Notting Hill go in a way. Like,
yeah,
not like he can't live there, but this idea he had of it. So yeah. The finding another, the two options are finding another person from Notting Hill. So the idea of like, now he learns to love Notting Hill as it is, or it's a person from outside and he learns to let it go.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think? Where do you think the heat is of that? Like, cause I see either angle. It's just deciding which message we're going to go with for the movie.
Yeah. I think the letting go, right? Okay. You know, like, I think it's like about the moving on. And then like,
oh, absolutely.
Like, I think he still has this, like, I think he's still like fine. I think like the love he finds with this person or whatever is like maybe just small, and it is just about like taking that next step of moving on. It's not necessarily like they're gonna get married or anything, right? You know, it's more just like taking the chance and like exploring that that new love, right? And through the process of the movie, that he finds the courage, and like she teaches him that, right?
Sure. Then let's cast her And let's come up with some scenes for the movie. Because, I mean, like, we kind of over, like, waved a hand over the plot of, like, she teaches him to, like, let's.
Oh, yeah. We'll get into the weeds. And then, like, yeah.
Yeah. We don't have to get super into it because it does feel like a pretty, like, I can see how this movie goes. I think it's just the specific scene, like, a few specific romance scenes, like, yeah, the meet cute, etc. So are we looking at, like, American actresses then?
Sure. Maybe around the same age as Julia Roberts. Like, she's 54.
Well, there's another question. How old is Hugh Grant? So Hugh Grant's 61. So let's aim for like 55 or thereabouts.
Jennifer Aniston, Judy Reese, Salma Hayek.
I think we have the same list.
Be fun. Nicole Kidman, Elizabeth
Viola Davis.
I like the idea of Salma Hayek.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, Salma Hayek.
And she's like, the foundation is like LA based, and maybe he's coming back to Notting Hill to like open a chapter, or it's somebody's birthday. Maybe it's his sister's birthday again. And it's like the first time he's been back to Notting Hill since his wife died. And she has to come with him, or does she fall at some point, follow, like, you're not answering your phone, so I had to come find, like, what's the reason why she's here?
Yeah, I think maybe it's just like he's not answering his phone. They still need to run the business or whatever. He has to decide like the recipients or something. And she's getting hit. She's trying to get him to like choose the recipients of like the awards for the year or whatever. And like is going over them with him. And maybe he's like hemming and hawing. It's just like, well, you know, it's an important choice, you know, like.
Let's open the movie. Then they're in like LA and he's like avoiding the question essentially, or for whatever, like he doesn't want to, maybe it's like, oh no, she always, this is the first time we have to pay the recipients. And she always like had it, like for some reason he doesn't want to do it because that's something Anna always did, or it's like a painful memory, whatever. And so she's like, well, okay, you have to decide. And he's like, well, actually I'm going home. I'm going back to Notting Hill for like the Labor Day weekend, whatever, like some extended weekend for my sister's birthday. She's like, great, I'll come with you, because it's like, no, you're not getting out of this. So she comes with him back to Notting Hill, and that's why, one, she's there, two, she's not leaving, and three, they have like an extended number of days together in this place, because normally she could just find him, go, great, you've made that decision, I'm flying back to LA tomorrow. This gives them a reason, like, no, the foundation's going to be shut down for like a week or something like that. So she's like, great, we're all on vacation, I'll come with you, I love England.
Maybe at the very beginning, like, he's actually at like a press conference where they're supposed to be announcing it, and he's like, and the winners are, I haven't decided yet, basically, or something like that. Just like all these people got around and like they thought they were gonna, it's like, what do you mean they haven't decided? It's like, I just need to, I'll decide after I take this weekend or whatever. Like,
a,
you know, just like
at a press conference, he's just like, yeah, you know what, I'll decide after vacation.
Or like in front of like, maybe it's not even a press conference, it's just in front of the whole foundation or something like that. And they're like, what do you mean? Like,
yeah, I like that. What if he suggests, they're like, oh, we're gonna have, oh, okay. Okay, he doesn't want to decide. So he's like, actually, we're going to have a contest. And like, whoever can raise the most money for this cause will get the grant or whatever, or we'll get this or something, like we'll receive the nomination or whatever. Because that also gives us a character or two of the people who are in contention also showing up in Notting Hill to be like, hey, you should give me the grant, or you should choose me. But like the idea of now also they have to wait till the competition's over to decide.
What if it's like, okay, so whatever recipient makes the greatest promo, so it's like a movie, and that we're going to do a movie showing in Notting Hill, you know, like, or like we're going to do like a short film, you know, and yes, which is ridiculous.
But that's good. Like an independent, we're going to, it's all independent filmmakers. And she set up like, oh, it's kind of like Sundance or whatever, Cannes, in a way of like, it's a foundation to help independent filmmakers get their projects made. And so he's like, great, we're going to have a festival, and it's going to be in Notting Hill. And this is at a press conference. And Salma Hayek is the person who is brought in like to basically put together a film festival in Notting Hill in a week. And so the idea is she's already not happy with him because he just basically announced this and threw it into her lap, and now she has a week to put together a film festival.
And I think he's funding it, like, yeah, you know, yeah, it's like the foundation.
It's more just the fucking hassle of her having to do this insurmountable task in a week, not like there's no money or whatever. Like, it's just extremely stressful and stupid. And that's why she's there. That's why they have this time together. And also a great kind of immediately, she does not like him because of this thing he's done, the amount of work she now has to do. I think that's really good.
Yeah. And so over their time in Notting Hill, we can like come up with like some things that they do or whatever, or like some things with the festival, or just like, you know, I like the idea. Maybe he just like shows up to like the location where they're going to do it, and just kind of stands around and isn't doing anything, and just like, okay, so, and then she's just like, you're just going to stand there? You're just going to like just observe? And he's like, yeah, that's kind of what I do. And she's like, oh no, you got me into this. You're going to like help me like go through the runs of like the recipients again.
I like that. I think what we maybe need is like a couple hijinks like that. And then the like one personal drama that flares up. So like in the idea of like, like in About Time, they have some hijinks, and then Kit Kat got hit by or got in that car crash, which is like a personal drama. I think we need like a couple kooky rom-com adventures, and then one like a little bit more serious character drama, and that's like the thing that bonds them together. And then I think we're pretty much home and hosed.
So maybe they're having like an opening night dinner or something, and they have to go get like the lemon tarts or something from like a shop or something. And they have to run across town, and he's just carrying all of these like boxes of lemon tarts, and then they have to strap them all to like the vehicle because they don't fit all in. You know, something stupid like that. I love the idea because
I had a similar vibe, and I think they work together. Is that she is like allergic to shellfish, not deathly allergic, but like comedically allergic, we'll say. And the idea is like, well, okay, but the car is full of all the shellfish and has to get there. Well, okay, then one of us has to carry like 10 boxes of lemon tarts across town while the other one drives the shellfish. And she's like, cool, I guess I'll carry the tarts because I'm allergic to shellfish. And he's like, I don't know how to drive manual. So she has to drive this car full of shellfish. Yeah. So she's like, like really hamming up the scene driving this while he's like running across town this box of like ice cream cakes or whatever. So they're already melting the whole, like, just this weird comedy bit. And like, I don't know, that could be fun.
Or they try to get him all like, it's like, okay, you have to drive. I like the idea that like maybe he has to learn to drive manual, and like the shellfish is just like Jocelyn everywhere or something. Just like,
her name is Jocelyn.
Jocelyn. Okay.
I like that. I think there needs, maybe like she's like, oh, as long as I don't eat shellfish, it's like comedically funny. And then at the end, one of the personal drama is she accidentally eats a shellfish somehow. Like Mrs. Doubtfire, where he purposefully puts it in the food, but a similar, like, she doesn't realize that there's some kind of shellfish in this dish and like has like a serious medical emergency. And maybe he like rushes her to the hospital. Maybe he drives, like, he like ruins a manual car trying to drive, like, he gets her there, but it like absolutely ruins this car. Oh, it's a, okay. Oh, Madison.
Go ahead.
Anna bought him a really nice car with manual transmission so he could learn to drive it manual, and he never did. Never driven the car, and it's like in the garage still. He ruins the car getting her to the hospital.
Got it. Yes, love it.
God, okay. I like that. That works. That's a good also then like symbol, I guess. I could not think of the word symbol. It's like symbolism then of the like, this car I never drove. Yeah. Like, I ruined it to save her life, and that's,
and he like stays with her over the night or whatever, and they talk, and just like, what is wrong with you? He's like, I don't know. Like, I had this guiding light, and the guiding light's gone or whatever.
I don't think you understand, like, that I didn't do anything last time. She just thought I was awesome. Like, I've never had to put in work.
I ran, like, for the first... For the, like, the first 15 years of my professional life, I ran a travel bookstore that maybe had like one person come into it weekly. And then I fall in love with this actress. And then we're whisking away, having everything bought for us. You know, I never really had to work hard, you know.
God, the hardest I had to work was just to tolerate my roommate, Spike.
God. Yeah. Who's thriving, by the way, with his successful...
I believe you said extreme t-shirt store.
Extreme t-shirt screen printing business.
Let's get one more kind of like hijinks aspect into the movie. And then...
I think, well, with the birthday party, I think that's still like a good idea. Like it is his sister's birthday or something like during this time. And they're having it at the t-shirt place. And Jocelyn comes with William to it for some reason or whatever. And like, I don't know, like, I like the idea that like they get their clothes get ruined, so they have to wear of the extreme t-shirts or something. Like, we could come up with like what that means, like what 100% the t-shirts are.
Hugh
like,
Grant ends up wearing a female body inspector t-shirt.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And Salma Hayek is like, how about these guns? And it's like pointing to her, like her arms.
It's like a honk if you're horny, and they have to walk home. Actually, she has to wear a honk if you're horny shirt, and they have to walk home because he can't drive manual, so they can't. So they have to like walk blocks. Yeah,
they just
like,
keep getting
your horny, like whatever. Like, we got it. With
she's very attractive.
Oh yes, he does shout that at one point. She's like, oh really? Like, not like in a shitty way. It's more of like, oh, I didn't know you thought I was attractive. He's like, oh yes, well, rather I have to, academically speaking, of course I know that you are attractive. Like, whatever. Like, he flounders his way through.
Yes.
That's really good. I also have a good bit, a little bit of like, not tension, but another like wrench in their plans. They actually have a short list of who they're probably going to give the money to, or to like who they're going to, but there's like, you know, 20 filmmakers. They like, they know there's like five that they've got their eye on. And they have that list. Hugh brings, he's going to have Spike print t-shirts for them for the festival. He gives him the wrong paper and he prints the short list on the t-shirts, and those get out into the world instead of like the t-shirt that they're supposed to be giving out. He accidentally prints the short list. And so everybody, the thing, they're all like, okay, well, they know now that these five are like, and so people are like, he got his tires slashed by a rival who knows that he's on the short list. Like, shit's getting wild, Notting Hill. I want to watch this movie. This sounds really great.
Yeah, I know. So do I. Yeah, sounds great.
What's the
what kind of film did they choose at the end? Or like, what's like, what do we think the film is? And like,
I think let's look at this first before we talk about what movie they pick. What is the I'm just a girl standing before a boy asking her, like, what's the big romantic climax at the end? Like, and I think once we know what that is, we can maybe figure out what kind of movie it is. My pitch would be Hugh Grant, who's like very unassuming and doesn't like the limelight or whatever, like pays one of the entrants or whatever to film him like talking about his wife and then about Jocelyn or something like that. Like, and it's like they play it at the festival. So it's like a thing on the big screen, maybe. Or he comes out and gives a talk, maybe. I'm not sure. But like, what's the gesture, I guess? Because I guess arguably the gesture was kind of he ruined that car to get her to the hospital.
We haven't really given Jocelyn a character, kind of like the original movie. True. Maybe we could give Jocelyn more of a character in that she really cares about this foundation or whatever. And
she was the first like recipient of whatever indie film grant. And so, and like her career didn't pan out. Like, it's not like a bitterness thing. It's more of just like, it just didn't work. It happens. You know, 1,000 people a day don't make it in Hollywood, and tale's old as time. But I got the chance, and because I got the chance, go ahead.
Maybe something he does is he does pay, like you said, he pays like to one of the filmmakers to like do this thing, or like maybe there's like a documentarian like who is like hassling him. It's like, is my thing going in? And he's like, I can't tell you, but you know, you've entered the last like 10 years and you never got in because nobody cares about the micro habits of small, minuscule shellfish, you know, like the, like you just don't have the topics that you do just aren't that appealing. Right. He's like, I captured the little moments, you know, and he actually hires this documentarian to capture the little moments of Jocelyn's work and like her passion for the, her work that she does. And you see it and you see her giving like speeches to the team. You see her arranging, like doing like five different things for like the festival and everything. So it is like a behind the scenes of the festival. And something that he didn't have to do, nobody knew he was doing or whatever, like capturing those moments. And then in that, this documentarian captures moments that they have with each other. And you see like, oh yeah, like they really enjoy each other's time together. Like, you know, like doing the shellfish thing, you know, that he gets like little things in the hospital. Like, we didn't even know you were there, you know, kind of stuff. It's like, you could have helped us during that entire time. He's like, I was too busy.
Yeah, we're the fly capturing. On the wall. We're not meant to. I like that. I have maybe a slightly alternate pitch of that guy is like, okay, look, I got to be part of the festival. Yeah, he has a pervert. It's like, I got to be part of the festival. Even though I'm not like, I didn't make the cut this year. I never make the cut because what you said, let me like film the setup. Like, let me do a behind the scenes of the festival. I'll do like the documentary. It'll be great. Great promo. And so finally near the end, when it seems like all's lost, he's like, okay, show me what you've got. He's like, I really think I captured Jocelyn's essence here. And he's like, no, that's awful. No, what are you doing? Go back there. See that, the way she tucks her hair behind her ear, which is like Hugh Grant essentially recuts the promo. Cause he's like, he catches the little, he's like realizing the little moments. He's like, no, you've got this all wrong. And like recuts the documentary maybe or something. I don't know. That might be an angle that doesn't really show her that he did or something. Like,
Maybe he had like a behind the scenes of him giving him notes about that stuff or whatever. Like he had a behind the scenes of that stuff.
Yeah, she could maybe give him like, wow, that was great. Like, I think if you've made it, if you made a movie like that next year, I think you're in for sure. He's like, oh, I didn't make that movie. Hugh Grant did. I don't remember his name in the movie. William made that movie. Like, I took the footage, but my version was way different.
I think that's good.
Well, they need like a moment together then at the end where she like, I'm just a woman dying in the hospital.
How about it? Because I do like the moment being small or whatever. And like, maybe they put on that whole thing together. It's like, okay, we did it, you know, and everything. And like after they saw that whole promo thing or whatever, and like the festival started, it just like, you know what I really don't want to do is go watch the same movies we've watched like 15 times the last few weeks again. Do you want to go get coffee? You know, like, you know, and then they go get coffee or something like nearby, like just have that moment together. They both know that they're into each other, but like it's new and it's like exciting and like, maybe it's something, maybe it's not, you know, but it's moving things forward. Right.
I was gonna have a thing about like, I was wondering if rather you'd help me with one more thing. Oh my god, why? He's like, well, I need to sell my flat in Notting Hill. Like the idea of like he's like or something like that. I don't know. It's not the same thing basically what you pitched, but even less clear. Like it's even more opaque. So
there is something like, I do think he kept the flat because it still reminds him of her, right, or whatever.
Oh, sorry.
Because we need that kind of stuff, like, because I also like think like this big festival he's having in Notting Hill at like the cinema there, like, is bringing all these tourists in, and he's like, he gets there and he's like, oh, this place is so different. Like, I need to change it back to the way it used to be. So he has like faux shops put up that were like, there used to be this produce stand, you know, like
he. I'm sorry, I have an idea. I'm excited about he. Stays in the flat while he's there while they're doing it, but he never lets anybody else come, like women, anything, nobody's there. At the end of the movie, they're like, leave, you're like, they do your thing. I don't want to watch these movies. And they walk and like they kind of end up outside his apartment. It's like, well, this is me. And she's like, oh, okay, well, good night. Pause. He goes, would you like to come up for some coffee? And we can show that it's actually coffee. It doesn't have to be that they sleep together. It can be like a smaller, more intimate moment than just like they fuck. But the idea is like he invites her up into the apartment, which he's never done before. That's been like his and Anna's like space. That's basically been almost like a mausoleum for like a shrine. And now it's like, well, would you like to come up for some coffee?
That's actually like better than like the whole moving on and like not thinking about Anna anymore. Cause it is like, oh yeah, you have to, let me share this with you. You know, like, you know, because that is a thing, like when people pass away, like in moving on, just like, oh, yeah, like I was with this person for a while and it like affects me. Right.
And also Selma Hayek would know her, would have known her. Like, it's not like this is she, like, so it's not even a big like, let me tell you about my wife. It's like she knew her. It's more of just like this was our space and it's not like a prison of grief anymore. It's like, yeah, it's like my apartment.
Yeah.
Would you like to come up for some coffee?
My apartment.
Would
you like to
go
for some coffee?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a nice, like, simple end, I think.
Scene. What do we call it is what you're going to ask? I think it is Nodding Over the Hill.
Then if we have a title and we have a film, there's only one question left. Did we do it? I
think we did it. I think we made a sweet little one here. Sweet little.
Yeah, we did. No supernatural elements. Nothing.
Well, that's what you think.
Uh-oh. Post-credit scene.
Post-credit scene. The time worm comes up and eats the cinema. That's right. It's in the ECU.
If we did it, that's credits on another episode of The Equalizers. Madison Jones, tell the people where they can find
us. You can find us on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, and everywhere else podcasts are found by searching The Equalizers.
You can get in contact with us on Facebook and Twitter at The Equalizers. Our Gmail is equalizers@gmail.com. And we have an Instagram. It is the_Equalizers. And as always, we spell that EQUELIZERS, like in sequel. Special thanks to the Banana Boys for our theme song, Two Steps Strutting, off their debut album, Technicolor Girl from Outer Space. You can find them on Facebook and Twitter by searching Banana Boys. And as always, they spell that B-O-Y-E-S like in oh yes.
Oh, yes, 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 oh, 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 yes, 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 oh, yes, 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 yes. Yes! Yes!
Full album is available on all streaming services now. Next time, we're a little cheeky as we watch Ralph Fiennes and Uma Thurman in The Avengers.
Not the Avengers. The Avengers. But not those ones that you're thinking about. It's the other
not
ones.
Not the ones you're thinking of. It's the other guys. The British ones.
Get it?
So. Piece of shit. So, for The Equalizers,
I'm Madison Jones.
I'm Mike Knoll.
I'll have what she's having.
To be continued.
First take your favorite leg, and then you kick it up to your chest. And then you pump your open palms, and then you really start breaking a sweat. That's all there is, that's really it. You barely even gotta move your butt. Come on, man, now follow my lead, or we'll do the two-step strut. Come on, dance with me. Mm-hmm.